Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 9. It's the story of Jesus healing a blind man. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, your word brings wisdom and understanding, Lord, to our life. Your word brings fullness of life. Your word brings strength and courage, boldness, oh God, to stand in your truth, Lord. Your word sets us apart for you. Your word sets us apart for you out of the world, oh God. We are not of this world. We are heaven-bound, Lord. We belong to your kingdom, God. So Jesus, again, as we study your word, we ask that you help us understand. Lord, I ask that you open up our eyes that we may be able to grow and see you and worship you the more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the previous argument ended. Jesus had been talking to the Pharisees, those who didn't like him at all. Long argument, they were telling him things that were actually meant to anger him and cause him to do anything wrong, but he didn't. He solely told them, "I am a matter of life and death." They were proud because they were Jews, because they were descendants of Abraham. Jesus told them, if you are really descendants of Abraham, you should have believed because that's what Abraham did. But you are being satanic here. You're full of hatred and deception. Our father was Abraham, and Jesus told them, I know that. Before Abraham was, I am. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. I met Abraham. That was what Jesus was telling them. Many believed, many did not. And in chapter 9, as Jesus was getting out of the temple after that long conversation with the Pharisees, as he passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, that's the pronunciation in Jewish. We normally pronounce it Rabbi. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of God, works of him who sent me, while it is still day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus' close followers were thinking, this man should be blind because he was a sinner from his mother's womb. He must have been doing something wrong in his mother's womb. So the punishment was to make him blind, or maybe his parents did something wrong and then the baby became blind. That is wrong thinking, right? How can an unborn child sin? What do they have to steal in their mother's womb? What do they have to kill or to whatever it is? And his parents, they don't have any proof that, much as everybody's a sinner, but it's not that their parents stole or murdered or did something wrong, that their child was blind. It was just something, a disability the boy was born with. None of them had sinned. Jesus tells them, but that the works of God may be revealed. God allowed that blindness because he knew what was planning. He knew that he would send Jesus and Jesus would heal this man. And it would be a great way of God revealing himself to us, to humanity, that he is who he is. And many times God allows things to happen so that he uses whatever it is, even disabilities, to tell us of who he is, to demonstrate to us that he is powerful. He can allow somebody into such a disability and he can heal them out of it. He says, I am the light of the world. For as long as I am in this world, I bring light. I bring understanding. I bring illumination. And then in verses 6 to 7, then he said to, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made some clay with his saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with a clay. And he said to him, go wash the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. See how the works of God are revealed? How God shows us that he is powerful, he is miraculous. And he does it in a very unique way. All right, he spits and mixes the soil with his saliva, something that would have caused irritation to this man's eyes. Well, the man was blind, so he didn't even realize that Jesus had used his saliva. I mean, that is not very pleasant, okay? And Jesus heals in really various ways. The man goes and washes, and he comes back seeing. Looks like he had not lost hope that he would one day be able to see again. He probably had tried so many medications, so many doctors, and gone so many places. And he is a man who tells him, go do something. Put soil, mix with saliva in his eyes, and go wash your eyes. If he had given up, he wouldn't have done that. If I'd said, you know, it looks like I'm never going to get healed. Why should I even go wash? I've washed my eyes all my life. Never been able to see. But he had hope that someday he would be able to see. And this is exactly what drives him to go wash. And he comes back seeing. Now that draws so much attention from neighbors, Pharisees, and I'm sure everybody around the temple at that time. Let's follow the conversation here. Therefore, the neighbors, those who had previously seen that was blind, said, is it not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And he said, I am the one. I am he. His closest neighbors knew that he was blind, but even them were really shocked that this man could see. And some were even thinking, maybe he's just a lookalike. But the man said, I am the one. You have some nice neighbors around you? Good? Terrible? I was told of a story of, as our community is, wherever lunch finds you as a child is where you eat, all right? So there are these neighbors who did not want the other kids from the other family to dine with them, to have meals with them when it was mealtime. When the kids happen to play, it's mealtime, they just have and eat. So you know what they would do? They would serve them food, but they would put paper in their food. Just to tell them you're not welcome to eat with us. So the kids would eat and the food is bitter, it's unbearable. And they would complain, our food is sour. It's like, yeah, that's how we eat our food here. The next day the kids didn't show up. They didn't even want to eat the neighbor's food. Anyway, back to the point. The neighbors could not even believe it. But they knew he was the one. And they say to him, how were your eyes opened? How was this possible? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and he said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. I received my sight. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. And they brought him, who was formerly blind, to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened the man's eyes. And the Pharisees asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and I could see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such miracle, do such signs? There's a division among them. And they say to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind but now received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. Now the parents are involved. I mean, this is really a small matter, right? The guy was blind, now he sees. Why do they have to go even to the parents? Their unbelief. And they asked the parents, saying, verse 19, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he see? I mean, the parents obviously have no clue what happened. His parents answered in verse 20, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He's of age, you ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be cast out, put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, you ask him. So they called the man again. They say to him, give God the glory. This is a really intimidation. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said to them, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. That's none of my business. One thing I know, that I was blind, but now I see. But then they say to him again, what did he do to you? How did you open your eyes? Where is the formula? He answered them, saying, I told you already and did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? What is your intention here? And they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he's from. The man said to them, why? This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he's from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in your sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. So then we have the religious leaders, the Pharisees. Shouldn't they have been happy because a blind man could see? Shouldn't they have rejoiced that a miracle has happened among them? All they cared about was that it was done on the Sabbath, and that in their mind violates the law of the Sabbath. Now, who gave the law of the Sabbath? God himself said, on the sixth day you rest. A picture of rest in him. Just rest. The Pharisees had defined what work means, what it means to violate the law of the Sabbath. Now, the law of the Sabbath did not say that if somebody needs help on the Sabbath, you cannot help them. That does not say that. Basically, it says rest. They accused Jesus of being a sinner. They claim they do not know where Jesus is from. In a way, they're just rejecting Jesus. Now, they had a problem. It's okay for them to reject Jesus, but how do they deal with this man who has gained his sight? Proof of God's power. How do they do that? His parents are consulted. The parents are fearing that if they say anything, they are going to be asked to leave the synagogue or the temple. They weren't going to be welcome to worship anymore. Do you know some religious people? They just care about all the externals. They are so far from God. They just care about how they dress and their position and their title. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. They don't even care about people knowing Jesus, do they? They just tell you, you're supposed to not have long hair. Ladies, you're not supposed to wear trousers. You're supposed to have short hair. You're supposed to wear black because you're a sinner. When you come to church, you're supposed to do certain things. There's a place in Sudan, someone tells a story of, true story, of a religious church. So it's really long, you know, all these old cathedral religious churches. And that morning, the priest, the reverend, whoever it is, could not get the PA system to work. So he was talking, but since it was a very long, big building, nobody could hear him. So what he was saying to the people is, he needed help, really. Like, I cannot get this PA system to work. You know what the people said? Amen. A second time, I need help. I cannot get this PA system to work. I was like, amen. 3 times. Can you imagine? So far away from God. The priests and the people are almost all blind. Like, they're just used to the amen, that they don't even care what the priest is saying anymore. They care about portraying their, not even their faith. They care about the title that you give them. They don't care about people. We see this in this story here, and there are so many religious people in our day, by the way. They're all around us. Hope you're not one of them. Jesus is before them, but they are so blind. They cannot see who the Lord is. Eventually, they are going to crucify the Lord. And the man takes courage, this man who was healed. So they put him in the corner. Parents away, everybody away, so tell us again. What happened? The man tells them, look, I've told you that story already. All right? I was blind. I could see. Who made you find a man called Jesus? He must be a prophet. And the encounter goes on. The man stands to defend who Jesus was, even when he had a very little knowledge of who he was. Initially says, just a man called Jesus. Eventually says, he must be a prophet. When they were accusing Jesus of being a sinner, he said, well, nothing like this has happened before. This man must be from God, and he must be righteous. Sinners don't do that. And he was asked to leave the synagogue or the temple. He's not welcome anymore. Can you imagine? And tell you what, a lot of people are blocked from seeing Jesus Christ by religious people, religious leaders. Don't come to church anymore because of A, B, C, D. This is a man who needed help. He got the help and is thrown out of church. Innocently, he just got healed. He hadn't done anything wrong. And Jesus finds him, verse 35. Jesus heard that the man had been cast out. When he found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Who is it, sir? Tell me. He answered and said, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. It's me. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped. He bowed down before Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. And some of the Pharisees who were with him had these things and his words and say to him, are we also blind? Are you saying we are blind? Jesus says to them, If you were blind, you would have seen. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. He tells them really that I have come that those who want to know God can know him, and those who don't want him can just choose to stay in their sins. That those who want to see may see, but those who think they see but they're blind, he will leave alone. More than physical disability, Jesus is talking about spiritual disability. He uses this man who had physical disability to give them understanding of spiritual matters. Just as that man was blind, you are blind. And if you had known that, I would have given you sight, understanding of what is happening here, understanding of heaven and eternal things. But you do not want that. There are people who choose to close their eyes to who Jesus is. They will try to argue with you just like this man. They will try to accuse Jesus of so many things completely untrue. And they choose to close their eyes from who Jesus really is, from the fact that he's God. Have you met them? You can argue with them all day. And they still reject. You can give them all evidence. I mean, look at this man. He's just been healed and he doesn't know so much about Jesus Christ, but he knows this man is obviously from God and he must be righteous. That's all I know. They try to engage him into more arguments. Tells them, all I know is I was blind. Now I see. You deal with it. The rest is none of my problem. Good way to defend your faith, isn't it? Muslims will argue. All the other religious people will argue. The fact is, it's either life or death. And Jesus cuts across and makes a distinction. He says, I've come to separate the sheep and the goats, that's all. And if you want to choose to be a goat, you go be a goat. If you want to be a sheep, come to him. There is life. So you don't have to spend all day arguing with people. Just tell them, all right, look here, the point of the matter is, Jesus brings life. And if you want it, you can have it. If you don't want it, it's fine. He will leave you alone to your own destruction. There are those who are blinded by Satan. Blinded, they cannot see the truth. In John chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus talks about those. John 12, verse 40, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Quoting Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. There are those the enemy has blocked sight. They cannot see. Right? We were all like that until we got to know these things as Jesus himself in many ways revealed himself to us. Jesus touched our eyes and were able to see him and to understand these things. For both those who are blinded by the enemy or those who choose to be blind, Jesus comes to offer sight, understanding spiritual things. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 to 23, Matthew 6, 22 to 23, Jesus says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be good, full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light in you is darkness, how great is your darkness? Our eyes help us a lot. Just close your eyes for a minute and see if you can live like that for even 10 minutes. You can't. Black, you just see black. Jesus says, if your eye can see, then your body is going to be whole. If you can see the road, you're going to be on the road and keep away from the bush. All right? But if you can't see anything, you're going to wander around to destruction. You're going to be hit. And that is spiritual too. If we understand the things of God, we are going to be safe. But if we choose not to understand the things of God, lost and completely in darkness, we hopeless. So one lesson for this, from this chapter is one that we should all pay attention to. Jesus brought light. He brought sight. So he brought understanding of the things of God. And we have to choose to receive that understanding. It's right here in his word. There are those who throw it out. They call good evil and evil good. Have you heard what the U.S. Supreme Court, and many around the world, by the way, have said about marriage? It's okay for a man to marry a man in all America. That basically means this. If a gay couple came to any church, went to any church in the U.S., you as a pastor, whether you like it or not, you're supposed to wed them. If you don't, they have rights to sue you. And you know what? They're going to do that to make money. Good, even evil good. They just choose to close their eyes to the truth. I mean, even chicken know the truth. Even goats, right? Have you seen male goats chasing male goats and female goats chasing female goats? No. We cannot redefine anything that God has already instituted. But they choose to. And that should cause you to think, why is this world going? Right? And we're under the same pressure, right? Yeah, that is coming into places like Uganda where we still hold on to very biblical principles. But of course, it comes with economic forces. And who knows, soon our lawmakers will say it's okay too because there's some benefit. This world is obviously headed for destruction. That's all. They're going to continue making foolish laws that will eventually separate the sheep and goats. May God open our eyes. May God continue giving us understanding of spiritual things. And just for this money, only knew a little, right? Only a little. How much do we know? And how much are we exposed to? Everything. And how we need to look for spiritual understanding in God's word. In Psalm 146, verse 8, the psalmist wrote, Psalm 146, verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. God gives us understanding of spiritual things, of heavenly things, of eternal things. And we should be close to him to understand those things. The more time we spend with what it says, the more we'll understand these things. Secondly, we should boldly, courageously defend our faith and stand for the truth. This man had known Jesus just for a few days, maybe a few hours. He has not gone to seminary to study apologetics, how to defend your faith. He probably doesn't know any verse in his head. He hasn't memorized anything. But one thing he stands to say is, I am a witness of who that man is, whoever he is. He doesn't even know him. He made me see. Very easy to defend our stand in the Lord. Just tell everybody your testimony. We had a reunion in my high school last Saturday. And I was not a very good student, not a very good one. Completely headed for destruction. And my teachers cannot believe that I am the person that I am today. And we can argue all day. But truth is, it's Jesus who changed me. It's Jesus who changed us. And that seals it. All right? It's Jesus who changed you. Your family and friends will try to figure out what happened. But you can stand to say, I may not know so much, but I know one thing. Jesus changed me. He gave me a new life, and that's it. I never went to any rehabilitation program. I never went to any psychiatrist. I never went to any moralist. It's Jesus who changes us, and we should stand to say that. You may never have all day to argue with the professors and all the scholars of this planet. You simply can say like this man, I was blind, now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. I was dead, now I'm alive. Jesus did it. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 1, the psalmist said, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell all, I'll tell of all your marvelous works. Stand to tell people of the marvelous works that God has done in you. That is your testimony. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, the same author of this gospel, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in Jesus Christ. You choose to reject Him, you have the freedom to. You choose to receive Him, you will be made free, brought out of that darkness into His wonderful light. And thirdly, we should grow in His knowledge. We have to be growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that will cause us to worship Him the more. Somebody said worship does not exist because, rather, missions exist because worship does not exist. We go tell people about Jesus because they're worshiping something else. They're not worshiping God. And we have to grow in His knowledge. Now, this man's first encounter with Jesus, a man called Jesus Christ. That was a man called Jesus, rather. That was a common name, Joshua. A man called Joshua. Later on, a prophet. A prophet is a messenger from God. So from just a man called Jesus, a prophet. When the Pharisees argued with him, he told them, look here, this man must be from God. This man must be righteous. No sinner can heal the blind in their own strength. Nothing like this has happened before. He must be from God. And when he realizes that Jesus was the Son of God, God represented in human flesh, he worshipped. This was the very first time that he realized, I am standing next to God, and all he wants is worship. Nothing more. He didn't worship when his eyes were opened. He didn't worship when everything was going on. He worshipped when he grew to know that it is God he was standing before. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 to 18, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 to 18, Peter was writing to Christians who lived in his day, warning them about evil, warning them about false teachers and false teachings. 2 Peter 3, 17 to 18, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter wrote that hundreds of years ago, but it sounds like he wrote it yesterday. Don't you see people giving themselves to the error of the wicked? It's all around us. And he tells them, be aware, you should know that there's going to be increase in unrighteousness and wickedness. So the only way you can stand, and by the way, some Christians fall into it. A lot of Christian churches in many places around the world are completely far from the truth. They don't teach the truth. They don't live the truth. But they say they're Christians and everything else. And some lose their steadfastness, give themselves away to deception and wickedness. But Peter says, not you. Maybe some do that because they're ignorant. They do not know the truth. But he says, but you grow in the grace and knowledge. Grow to know Jesus the more through his word. By the end of this year, you should have known more than you knew last year. And the following year, you should be knowing more. And not just for knowledge's sake, this word transforms us. And we should all commit to grow in his knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That will lead us to worship the Lord the more. When we finally realize through our growth who Jesus is, our life is going to be full of adoration for him. You're going to continuously bow down before him like this man. One, may God open our eyes and may he continue opening our eyes that we are able to understand spiritual things. Two, defend your faith with your testimony. You don't have to call me to ask me what you should say. You were once blind, you're able to see. You were lost, now you're found. You were dead, now you're alive. You were in sin, now you're forgiven, and you know it. In fact, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to death. Look at this man. He didn't care about being dismissed from church. All he cared about was what he had experienced with the Lord. That's all that matters. And thirdly, grow in his knowledge, and that will lead us to worship him the more. Let's grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's stand and pray. If you're here and you'd love to receive sight, spiritual understanding of Jesus Christ, it's only a prayer away. Just ask Jesus to clear your eyes. And for us who know him, focus in the understanding that he gives us. Keep your eyes. Don't allow any blindness to come in. There is so much blindness that wants to block us from seeing Jesus Christ. And we have to choose to throw that out. We have to choose to see as God would love us to see. Stand to defend your faith with your testimony. Grow to know Jesus the more. Worship him the more. Lord, thank you so much for giving us understanding of spiritual things, of eternal things. Thank you so much for the knowledge that you give us, that we have before us. Thank you so much for healing us of blindness. Now we can see and we know we are going to heaven. Lord, thank you so much for the testimony we have. We are changed, we are transformed, we are forgiven, we are saved, we are born again. And that is the greatest defense that we can present to anyone who doubts who you are. We were blind, but now we see. We were lost, now we're found. We were in sin, but now we are forgiven. And Lord, we want to remain committed to grow in our knowledge of you, O God. Jesus, you're fully revealed in your word, in scriptures. And that's where we want to be. We want to read and understand and learn so that when there is any deception, when there is any blindness coming, Lord, we know the light and we walk in the light. Lord, we want to pray for those who are still in darkness, oh God. I pray that you help remove that darkness in their eyes and help them see. Draw people to yourself, Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. You are the only one who can heal the blind. We want to particularly pray for our political leaders. This very fragile time and season, Lord, there's a lot of blindness. Many can be carried away by error, by greed, by pride, selfishness, conflict, oh God, just to protect their positions or to get whatever they want. But we want to pray that you give them sight, you give them understanding. Help them know that it's all temporary. It is far more than just things in this world. It's far more than his eyes can see now. There's heaven. Lord, give them spiritual eyes, oh God. Remove the blindness, the darkness, the eyes. Draw them to yourself, oh God, and give them sight. In Jesus' name. Amen.